turn with me in God's holy word to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We continue looking at these two chapters, John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. And we come now, our text today, verses 36 through 46. Hear now the reading of God's very word. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. I'm going to ask Elder Steve French, please, to lead us in prayer.
Us from being spiritually dead, Lord, that you have freed us from the bondage of sin. We pray now, Lord, that you would come and meet with us, that you would tune our ears to hear your precious truths, the preaching of your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the whole book of John is an evangelistic tract. At the end of the Gospel of John, you remember when we began this series a number of weeks ago, we said, why are we going to take time to look at these two chapters? And years ago, we went through the whole book of the Gospel of John, but these two chapters give us a glimpse of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as does the whole book. And we read over in John chapter 20 in verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so why spend time looking at John chapter 11? Well, this is just one of the glorious things that Jesus did when he walked on this earth. And it has been recorded for us by Almighty God so that we might believe in Jesus and have life in his name. We also looked at the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we said there was a second reason. Not only is this a passage of Scripture that causes people to become Christians, but in Hebrews chapter 12, as we live in a fallen world, we will never outgrow the need to look to Jesus. We will never outgrow trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only is this passage of Scripture a powerful evangelistic tool, but it is also a powerful tool by which God revives and nurtures us and builds us up in believing in Jesus. And we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about this a chapter before in Hebrews 11, of the men and women who looked ahead and saw the glory of Jesus. And because they were captured by His beauty, by His glory, they walked with God. They trusted and followed the Christ. We are even more privileged than they. For we have, if you will, a bird's eye view of the whole revelation of what God has been pleased to do in giving His Son. We see very clearly how all of those events throughout the Old Testament were shadows and pictures and types and teachings that all focused on, in the fullness of time, God Himself comes and takes on flesh to be the Redeemer. And so, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And notice verse 3, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And so the Christian life is one in which we continually look to Jesus. And so in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, you remember we saw at the beginning of this chapter, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they send word, the sisters do. Evidently, Lazarus was so sick that he was basically incapacitated to a large degree. It was obvious that he had no usual sickness. They were concerned that their brother was not going to make it. And so they send word to Jesus, he whom you love is sick. Jesus waited. He waited until Lazarus had died. And then he told the disciples, let us go and awaken him. And the disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, that's good. He'll get better. And Jesus said, no, guys, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may, what? Believe. Martha comes running out to meet him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And then last Lord's Day, you remember we saw Mary comes out and she also says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus, it is recorded for us that amazing little verse, verse 35, Jesus wept. That the Son of God in the flesh, who had come to awaken his friend, Lazarus, from the sleep of death. He weeps because Mary and Martha are weeping. He weeps because he is touched with all of the sorrow and the grief that surrounded this enemy of death that had taken this dear one. And what a glorious Savior we have. He's never late. He is able to make dead people alive. And he is a sympathetic high priest. He cares for us as his little children. Well, today we want to look now at the culmination of these events in terms of Jesus revealing his glory in raising Lazarus from the dead. And there are several things that we're going to see in these verses. Beginning in verse 36, the disciples and the people who were there, when they see Jesus weeping, they said, "See how he loved him." Some of the people said, "Oh, look, he's weeping because he loved Lazarus so much." And other people, when they saw this going on, they said, but some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And so as we think about Jesus revealing his glory, the first thing that we are struck with in the verses we're going to look at today is the utter confusion of unbelief. The utter confusion of unbelief. And you look at a culture like ours, and what do you see? You see chaos and confusion. Utter confusion. This past week, it was an astounding thing to see two funerals, two prominent funerals in our culture, and the utter chaos and unbelief. There is no hope in this world when you don't know Jesus. There's no hope. There's no hope if you don't know Jesus. And so here were people standing in the presence of the Son of God. But notice what they say when they see Jesus. There's a sense in which they know that this is a very important person, but they don't know Jesus. And what is their assessment? "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And we live in a culture where the name of Jesus, it's well known. There are very few people who don't know the name Jesus in our culture. You might find somebody once in a while who's never heard the name Jesus Christ, but that's rare. But we live in a culture where more and more the case is people don't really understand who the Jesus of the Bible is. They don't know the Jesus of the Bible. And even though Jesus presents himself in Holy Scripture, we're living in a day and age where there is unbelief and there is confusion and chaos because of it. Jesus was able to keep Lazarus from dying. Jesus proved in just a few minutes after this ridiculous statement was uttered and thought by evidently many people. Notice it says, but some of them. It wasn't just one person who said, well, you know, if he was able to make a blind man able to see, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? There were a number of people who had this confusion. May the Lord come this day and open our eyes to see who the real Jesus is. That our hearts would run to him and embrace him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to wash me in your precious blood. I want you to make me right with you. And Lord, I want to learn of you. I don't want to walk in terms of my own assessment, my own thinking. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And look in verse 5 and following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here we see in John chapter 11 people who were leaning on their own understanding, their own assessment. Boy, they were brilliant, weren't they? They had it all figured out, didn't they? Could not this man who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? They had it all figured out. Well, we live in a culture where there are many, many, many people who think they've got it all figured out, but they are denying the Son of God come in the flesh. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. And so here is, as we are going through this passage in John 11, we see even though the Son of God was standing in their presence, yet they have great confusion and they have chaos in their hearts and their lives because they don't really know and understand who it is they're standing in the presence of. And that's not only true in that day, it's true in our day. If I do not embrace the Lord Jesus of Holy Scripture, the one who actually came and took on flesh in the virgin's womb and walked on this earth and performed these mighty miracles, if we don't embrace this Jesus, we're going to have chaos. And we're going to have confusion. And we see that in our culture on steroids. We live in a culture that is full of chaos and confusion because of a willful refusal to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about the response of the people. I don't want to spend a lot of time looking at that, but just look down in verse 45. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but I want you to see again what unbelief does to people. Look at verse 45. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, raising Lazarus from the dead, believed in him, but look at verse 46. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Not everybody believed. Can you imagine? There were people who saw a dead man who'd been dead 4 days walk out of a tomb, and instead of them running and bowing before the Lord Jesus and saying, oh, I'm going to trust in you to wash my sins away, instead of doing that, they turned around, walked to the Pharisees and said, let me tell you what he's done now. Let me tell you what this troublemaker has done now. He has raised a man who has been dead 4 days. Now what are we going to do about that? And the Pharisees, they, as we're going to see, conspired together and said, well, we got a big problem. Because word's going to get out and everybody's going to start following him. They didn't deny that Jesus had raised a man from the dead. But they hated Jesus. Now that's what unbelief looks like. And we live in a culture where Almighty God says the Son of God is the source of life and fountain. And what is our culture doing? Our culture is saying, no, thank you. And they're not even saying it in a respectful way. Our culture is showing their hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord have mercy upon us, that God would deliver us. And if there be any of you here this day and you think you've got it figured out, you think you've got life figured out, and you don't love Jesus Christ, see the confusion and the chaos of these poor people who refuse to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and how they were thinking and living. Such chaos, such confusion. And we could think about that in terms of issues of our day: abortion, homosexuality, marriage, the transgender movement, socialism. I mean, on and on we could go talking about issues where there is just utter confusion in our day and time because people refuse the Jesus of the Bible and His Word, Holy Scripture. Well, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was in their midst. Now, the second thing that I want you to see in this passage, not only do we see that even though the Word of God had come and they refused to embrace Him and ended up in great chaos and confusion. Secondly, I want you to notice that even God's own people can get caught up in unbelief. Look at verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the same Martha now, who just a few verses earlier, a few minutes earlier, had done what? Look up in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." It's this Martha, Jesus comes to the tomb now, deeply moved. He's still got the tears streaking his cheeks. He says, "Roll the stone away." And this Martha responds what? Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." You see, even God's people who believe in Jesus, me, you, we can get caught up in unbelief too. Oh, it's easy to get caught up in unbelief. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. Now, this really made logical sense, didn't it? Sure it did. If you leave Jesus out of the equation, it made perfect sense. This man had been dead 4 days. His body had begun to decompose. And there was going to be an odor. And Martha, instead of saying, "Well, if Jesus says to do this, I'm going to trust and obey," what does Martha do? Martha leans on her own understanding. Martha, instead of saying, "Lord, you have clearly stated this, and I'm going to trust in you." And Martha says, "Lord, no, that's not a good idea. Lord, by this time, there will be an odor. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus, you don't understand. You know, whenever we find ourselves coming to the Word of God and saying, you know, I don't think that's right. I know better. Now, we may not say, I know better, but that's what Martha was saying, wasn't it? And she didn't say it, but she said it. You know, she says, Jesus, this is not a good idea. Don't roll the stone away. Stop. I've got a better idea. Jesus, don't do this. Oh, how foolish unbelief is. How foolish unbelief is. Have you ever been foolish? Have I ever been foolish? I'm way too much like Martha. Way too often. May the Lord come this day and capture us anew with the glory of the Son of God come in the flesh. And that we wouldn't be like those unbelievers. Could not this man who made a blind man see have caused this man not to die? Or even as those who love Jesus, at times we find ourselves for a brief moment saying, no, wait a minute, Jesus, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to forgive 70 times 7. It's not a good idea for me to go and seek to be reconciled with a person who's done me wrong. That's not a good idea, Jesus. I've got a better idea. Husband, wife, who's going to be the first to say, please forgive me? Who's got a better idea? You or Jesus? When it comes to obeying your parents, do you have a better idea? You got a better idea? Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and that your days may be long on the land that the Lord gives you. Got a better idea? I'm going to be faithful to my husband and my wife. When somebody else comes along, I'm not gonna go after them because it wouldn't be pleasing to Jesus. You got a better idea? You got a better idea? I'm not willing to wait until I get married to start living together. You got a better idea? Got a better idea? Oh, we've got a culture full of Marthas. May the Lord deliver us. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Well, it kind of made sense at the moment, but it really was foolish, wasn't it? For Martha to be instructing Jesus. We need Jesus to instruct us, don't we? We need Jesus to tell us what's right and what's wrong, who he is. We need to listen to the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, these 66 books of Holy Scripture. Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. The third thing that we see in this passage is we see Jesus speaking now, his sweet, patient, powerful voice. What does Jesus say in response to Martha? You know what I would be tempted to say by this time? Would you just be quiet, dummy? Is that what Jesus says to Martha? Look in verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus, he corrects her. But look how gentle Jesus is. Look how patient Jesus is. And that's how he is with you and with me. And he comes by his Holy Spirit and he takes the Word of God and he's instructing us. We need to listen. He calls Martha to believe. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He says, Martha, just believe. And that's what he says to you and to me. He comes and he says, believe. Believe, Believe in me. That's what Jesus says to me. That's what he says to you this day. And it means that we throw ourselves at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to wash me in your blood. And Lord Jesus, I want you to teach me your paths. I want you to open your word to me. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a culture where Satan loves to stir. Sometimes he stirs people by saying, you don't need Jesus at all. But if people think they need Jesus, then how many times have I seen people go off the deep end who think that they on their own can figure out the paths of Jesus? And I've seen people, and I could name names, a whole list of names. It makes me weep to even think about it. Who have turned away from the Word of God in the name of the Word of God. Because they were just foolish. They really didn't understand Holy Scripture. And they thought that left to themselves, they knew better than the church for the past 2,000 years. And they've got new light that nobody else has seen in the history of the church. And they've got it all figured out. Let me tell you, we need Jesus. We need His Word. We need the means of grace to keep us from having unbelief or having belief in the wrong thing. We need belief in Jesus according to His Word, what He has said. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? It's not just me making up whatever I want, but it's what the Jesus of the Bible says. It's what the promises of the Word of God. It's the warnings from God. It's the standard God has revealed. Not the gospel according to Henry or the gospel, and you can plug your name in. It's the gospel of God. And so Jesus called Martha to believe. He renews her faith. Martha had confessed that she did believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And whenever we read Holy Scripture, Jesus is speaking to us. Whenever we hear the Word of God faithfully preached, Jesus is teaching and speaking to us. You know, one of the most amazing promises that we see of what Jesus is at work doing is found over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. And it's a quote from Psalm 22. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Where are we gonna be taught of Jesus today? Well, in Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 10. For it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, or all from one. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. And so, notice verse 12. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. And one of the evidences that Jesus has adopted us into his family is that in the midst of the congregation of God's people, he reveals the Father's name to his brothers. And so, read the Word of God, feed upon the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, gather with God's people. We need Jesus to revive our hearts, just like Martha needed to be revived, to have her faith revived. And it's not just a belief in whatever I want, but it's a belief in the Jesus of Holy Scripture. May the Lord revive our hearts. May we see the glory of Jesus. The fourth thing that I want you to see in this passage is Jesus reveals His glory and He prays for His people. That's why we're not consumed with unbelief. Jesus prays. And when Jesus prays, amazing things happen. I want you to look at this prayer, verse 41. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that You always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that You sent me." Jesus prayed. He told them to take the stone away, and then He prayed. He instructs Martha, and then He prayed. He prayed. And He tells us why He prayed. Jesus lifted His eyes and said, "Father." He's talking to His Father. He's praying. "Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I knew that You always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that You sent me." He says, "I'm praying this prayer so that people will realize that I am the one sent from the Father." He's the Savior. And He says, "The reason I'm praying to the Father is so that the people will believe that I'm the sent one, that I'm the one that the Father promised to come to be the Savior, the deliverer." And what happened when Jesus prayed? Look at verse 43. "When He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" And what happened? "The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" A dead man came alive. He had been dead 4 days. His body was decomposing, but that was no problem for Almighty God. God can create out of nothing. God can take a decomposing body and put it back together and make it alive again and quicken his heart and his mind and put the breath back in him. And the man, Lazarus, who had died, came walking out of that tomb fine. Perfectly fine. He wasn't sick anymore. We don't know what the sickness was that he had died from. Maybe his appendix had ruptured. Maybe he had a brain aneurysm. Maybe he had a heart attack. We don't know what had happened to him. But Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, made a dead man alive. And I want you to see the power of Jesus' prayers. And I want you to think about Jesus praying for us. And how that ought to encourage us and thrill us that we have a Savior, God Himself, who appears in the presence of God praying for us. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 23. "The former priests," talking about the Old Testament priests, "were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." Jesus always is praying for us. He's making intercession for his little lambs. How are we going to make it to heaven? Do you ever get up and go, "Boy, I don't know if I'm going to make it today." That ever happened to you? What's your hope? If you have hope, that's real hope, your hope and my hope is Jesus. That he's hanging on to us. He is praying for us. Quickly, one other example. Luke chapter 22. This is an amazing example of the prayer of Jesus and the power of his prayer. Look at Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he may sift you like wheat. That's pretty scary business to think about Satan coming and saying, I want to sift this one. Whew. That ought to put the cold sweat on you to think about that. Well, what was Peter's hope? To be sifted by Satan in the context of that chilling statement. What is Peter's hope? Look at verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus was praying for Peter. And even though Peter stumbled, he denied the Lord Jesus three times. He said, I don't know the man. Then he cursed and said, I don't know the man. And then he took an oath, calling God to be witness. I've never known the man. And it says that Jesus looked at Peter and Peter went out and wept bitterly. What kept Peter from despairing like Judas did? Jesus was praying for Peter. What's going to keep you? What's going to keep me? As we live in a fallen world with all kinds of sin, we wrestle with sin. We struggle this side of heaven. Not every day the same degree, but sin's powerful. Where's our hope? Jesus. He not only bled and died for us on the cross, but he prays for his little lambs. And so John chapter 11, oh, it shows us the glory of Jesus. And finally, I want you to turn back with me. Not only do we see the glory of Jesus, that he comes to reveal the Father. People denied him and lived in chaos. Jesus spoke his word and he instructed Martha, but she thought she had a better idea. Jesus did renew Martha's faith. You need to believe in me, Martha. Jesus' voice prayed. That encourages us. And then finally, I want you to see in this passage as we think about Jesus, the Word, speaking the Word, he was able to make a dead man alive. And Jesus' voice, it's powerful. Jesus spoke the world, the universe into being out of nothing. The Son of God is powerful. And he has come and taken on flesh to be our Redeemer. Lazarus, come out. He cried out with a loud voice. Now, he could have spoken a soft voice, but he spoke with a loud voice. Lazarus, come out. And he made a dead man come alive. If you're a Christian, if you're a lover of Jesus, you've heard the voice of Jesus. We were dead. We were not in a physical tomb, but we were in a spiritual tomb. And Jesus came and spoke his powerful voice and made us alive. And someday Jesus is going to speak his voice and physically everybody who has ever died is going to come alive. The voice of Jesus. What glory. What power. May the Lord give us hearts this day that delight in this Savior. Have you heard his voice? Turn back with me to John chapter 5. We looked at this. Look in verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? He's calling this day to repent and run to him and embrace him. And if you've heard the voice of Jesus, what is our response? We praise the Lord. We love this Savior. We cling to this Savior. We give ourselves anew to this Savior. And we want to follow him. We want to trust in him. We don't want to be full of unbelief like those unbelieving Jews were. We don't even want to be like Martha, who temporarily was just thinking she had a better idea. We say this day, Lord Jesus, I want you to take me by the hand, and by your blessed Holy Spirit, I want you to show me from your word whatever you want me to know about you and do to please you. Have mercy on me, Lord. Oh, we glory in such a Savior. He wakes the dead and gives them life. Have you heard his voice? Do you love him? Cling to him. And if you're here today apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you will hear his voice. And he offers you forgiveness today. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, how we thank you for Holy Scripture. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were able to make a dead man alive. Lord, how we pray that you would use us like you used Lazarus to testify of the glory of Jesus. Lord, you have rescued us from death, spiritual death. And we pray that, Lord, you would capture us anew with the wonder and awe of who you are, Lord Jesus. And your voice would be precious to us. Your word would be precious to us. Lord, that you would give us a hunger for your word. That, Lord, in our everyday lives, we would hunger to know more of you. Lord, that we would be eager to believe the promises, to heed the warnings, to learn more of your perfections. Lord, to hate our own sin more and more. To be hungry, Lord, to gather with your people. Lord, we beg that you would make our hearts full of wonder at who you are. And Lord, that you would make us so that we could not get enough of you. Lord, capture us with your glory. How we thank you, Lord, for your tenderness to give instructions to the people in that day to unbind him and let him go. Lord, what a sweet family reunion. And Lord, we look forward to the day when, Lord, you will take us home to be with you. And until that day, Lord, how we thank you for the joy to be alive walking with you. Lord, take us and use us in this day to live for your praise. Don't let us be full of unbelief to not listen to your voice, to not heed. Lord, deliver us, save us, have mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're praying for us. Bless now as we continue to worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.